Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve and Rob Bossolari.
You got most of it.
On the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. What, Rob Bossolari?
No, your mic did like every other syllable. Your internet connection was like,
oh, wow.
With Cox low internet service, you'll only get every other syllable.
Yeah,
well, and so it begins. About...
That's all right. Rob is very versed in cocks. So speaking of cocks, DJ Impact is off in probably just his fuzzy white slippers right now, and maybe a little smoking robe, and making the ocean waves go in his bed, I would assume.
Oh boy.
Use your imaginations.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to use our imagination for this. Because it's Steve Sweet for the week, and we actually saw what was sweet this week. And Steve, start off. What was sweet for you?
All right, man. So. Yeah, forget about the booking to get there. I talked shit about it last week, but Dynamite Grand Slam was bookended by two great matches at the end of the day. Nigel McGuinness versus Bryan Danielson kicked off the show. So, yes, Danielson was cleared anyway. Nigel definitely didn't look like somebody that was out of the ring for 11 years. He looked great. He was in great physical condition. His cardio was very solid as well. Danielson obviously picked up the win with the lapel lock. Nigel looked dead into the camera and yelled either thank you or fuck you, one of the two. Regardless, TBS erred on the side of caution and bleeped it out. And as he tapped out. So I'm cool with them using Nigel as a special attraction. You know, once or twice a year, trot him out there. Don't make him into an every month kind of a thing.
No.
Or God forbid, every week. God forbid, don't do any of that shit. Save him for important feuds and important dates. Also, the AEW World Tag Team Championship, that match was also on Dynamite Grand Slam, and it was nothing short of a roller coaster. This was a 30-minute extravaganza of no selling and high spots. If you love that type of stuff, then this was your match. If not, well, I'm sure that you're going to talk shit about it. But regardless, I had a blast watching this match. Kyle Fletcher is on the verge of breaking out into being something very special. Will Ospreay is arguably one of the best wrestlers on the planet. And the Young Bucks, well, say what you will about them as of late, but they did help to revitalize tag team wrestling at a time previously where it was not so great. We see how the mighty have fallen since then, but... They were very, very good. And those four guys took this match to a very high level. Excellent stuff all around. They teased the thing at the end with Don Callis with the screwdriver. We'll see what happens. But, yeah. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Prince Nana got confronted by, MVP on this show as well. So, that adds another intriguing element to the roster. Who are you going to put with him? I'll talk about that in a later segment.
Okay. I guess we didn't watch the same show. Rob.
Well, I'm going to talk about Jay freaking Uso because on a Monday Night Raw where they're defending the Intercontinental title and it's Braun Breaker, you're pretty much assuming that this is going to be a squash match or an interruption finish. That there's no way that Jey Uso is going to walk away with the IC belt, and he does. And they're interviewing him out in the audience, and the crowd is over. Everyone's excited. This was something that they've teased about with him for 11 years of wrestling and that he didn't have his own singles belt. This is a freaking great accomplishment that can only be followed up by a colossal screw job. I don't know. But they only had it on Braun Breaker for 53 days or so, which is a little short considering how over he was and how they really built him up as his unbreakable guy, pun intended. But then we had the other end of AEW, which was Hangman Adam Page and a strap match was Jeff Jarrett. That fucking match on Collision was phenomenal. I've never seen a lumberjack match quite like that. And we had the run in from Kara Jarrett trying to take a bullet for Jeff. Hangman Adam Page getting the belt and whipping the living crap out of Jeff Jarrett and him getting the straps too. This was a unique match. It was a great match. We also had a three-way match with the Beast Mordos and Hologram. And I'm forgetting the third name there.
Drillistico.
Drillistico. And they just did spot after spot, tope suicida after tope suicida, over the rope, out of the rope, near miss after near miss, shots on the corners. You had some great falls. This was fucking great. And then Roosh jumping in there at the end. So now we have Infaction and Gorbinales coming back. That is fucking great. We had stuff like Vinci getting punked out by Cruz. So automatically, I find this funny. He's a joke wrestler. He's there. He's the comic relief wrestler now. And that's not going to put over Cruz at all. Apollo Cruz isn't getting any shine from that, but it does make Vinci look funny as hell. LA Knight, Andrade, again, with that whole three-way thing with the Carmelo. It's giving that, we know it is going to be a triple threat match at Bad Blood. This will be good. You're seeing some of the best wrestling. You got to think about it like this. When guys like Carmelo, well, they're going to have six matches, you're putting a lot of faith in that wrestler that he's going to be able to perform that well, to do that many matches at you know, two break intervals with Andrade, and these guys are delivering. The stuff that they were doing on the ring apron there, those DDTs, the stuff from the DDT from inside out, really amazing. And last but not least, I'm bouncing all around the place, but Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, I liked it, the idea they're taking all the jaded TNA, you know, sloppy seconds and trying to make some sort of a women faction out of it. Hopefully they'll have a better name than a Pure Fusion Collective. Fucking worst name ever. And they can do
word
something.
Salad.
But if they could do something with it and give one of them a belt instead of just being two angry, jaded women, I'm being polite. They're not going to, but if they could do, give them something, give them one of the two belts, and then you have all the eight. Really, you got three belts or four belts because you've got all the New Japan belts, a strong belt, the TBS belt, the women's belt, the ROH belt. Give them something, you know? Don't just leave them with a pearl necklace, which is all they've been getting from Tony Khan. That's all.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't think Tony likes giving the pearl necklace to the women.
Man.
Yeah, you know, the Andrade and Carmelo stuff has been fantastic. When you can get that many matches and it's not stale, and adding LA Knight into the mix, upping. So we've always seen these 5-7 series, whatever, you know, match series. A lot of times we don't get any stakes higher than that, right? But now you're throwing in the champion to then elevate it to another level. So realistically, you can probably have this going, you know, in some form or another, building up to, you know, the Rumble, maybe even. I think you're going to see some form of this end up probably in Mania, maybe. But that's what those guys are working towards. Think about it, is that this is Hayes's and Andrade's opportunity to show that they should be part of WrestleMania. You can't deny them for what they're fucking doing. And by the way, again, Andrade now all of a sudden can talk.
Side guy. He's not a heavy. He's not the hitman guy. But no, they're talking, but they don't have catchphrases yet. They need that.
Well, I mean, but again, it's a build, and that's the whole thing. You know, to the point where when Andrade's confronting LA Knight backstage, it's a real conversation, and then Hayes comes out of nowhere and fucking nails Knight. You don't see that coming.
No, you don't.
That's the thing about when it blurs the lines of making it feel a little more real, because these guys are invested and it looks so much better. It makes so much more sense. I think you're seeing a lot of that in KO, Cody, and Randy. So who is the turn? Is it Kevin or is it Randy being quote unquote the peacemaker? Because Randy kind of started the trouble by inviting Cody down, you know? So there's some interesting shit going on there. And then you get the Cody Roman video, which that setup was Lucha Underground's influence. And I think that Lucha Underground doesn't get enough credit for what a lot of TNA has been doing over the, you know,
most cinematic scenes that they would do
were great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
They murdered a guy. They locked him in and they shut the gate on him and stabbed him to death in one of those scenes. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. And this is what you're seeing with something like that in terms of that cinematic style with this video. It just felt that way. And I think that's what we're seeing. What we're not seeing in AEW right now is the evolution, right?
Correct.
That's what we saw when AEW started. That's why it was so hot. And there's no evolution. It's become static. It's become stagnant.
People are in the same position that they were in 3 years ago.
Yeah.
If not longer.
With the same gimmicks, you know.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, I mean, every once in a while you see a little something that's a little different.
MXM.
What?
I'll talk about that later.
Ah, there you go. I think what they're doing with Sami Zayn, first of all, Ludwig Kaiser is on a roll, showing that he is someone who is such a good worker. What they're doing with, you know, having him wrestle Sammy and then having this tease with Walter constantly, like, hey, you know, this sounds like, great. This is the perfect place for me to tell you no. And it's just like the buildup. Walter's in his fucking wrestling tights. He's got the belt on. It's like the fans are just drooling for the match to happen right then and there. And nope, fuck you. I'm out of here. It's simple chicken shit heel stuff that you know.
Oh, you mean Gunther?
Yeah, Gunther, right? The Walter stuff. You know, it's the stuff that you see that is very easy storytelling because they have a history. Sammy is such a likable underdog, and fans want to see him, even if you know he's not going to win. On the off chance, same thing when he wrestled Roman in Montreal, right? That off chance that they would give him the belt, and people were so pissed off that he didn't win. That's the whole thing with Roman or with Gunther. Yeah, furious, you know. There's so many different things now going into Bad Blood that once Bad Blood happens, now you start getting that ball rolling for Survivor Series. And what they go with for War Games this year is going to be very interesting, because will it be the Bloodline stuff? It seems like they're setting that up with Kevin and Randy and Cody and Roman and maybe Jay, possibly, now that he's got the belt. So, or do you fix in, you know, is it Jay and Rhea and Damian and the Judgment Day guys, if they don't want to blow the whole load right now on the Bloodline? So it's interesting because for once we can actually start saying that even if you feel like you can predict, well, this person's going to win, that person's going to win, the one thing that you can't predict now is the avenues that they turn.
Right.
Which used to be very, very blueprinted straight out. And you're just now it's like, Shit.
They've done a good job with immersion and red herrings and things as of late, especially. So yeah, I think they will end up doing the Bloodline though at Survivor Series, because we have yet to see the debut of Tala Tonga.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've got Hikuleo signed. He's got a debut.
And
I mean, that would be the logical place.
Would it be cool? A cool little callback to the last giant who came through the bottom of a ring in a steel cage.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That'd be
fucking amazing.
Yep.
Oh no, King.
Yep.
You was that 97?
It nice was, job, Michaels. Way to pick up what I was putting down.
Yeah, well, it was February 14th, 1998, when the
98.
Paul White came up from the ring and threw Stone Cold through the steel cage for Stone Cold's feet to hit on the ground to win versus McMahon. Yep.
I was thinking of something.
Yeah, that was the big debut of the Giant in WWF. So you know, they could do something like that, absolutely.
What I keep noticing was they deliberately put you on a single frame shot of Randy Orton with Cody Rhodes, and the size difference in the two guys there, and also the fact that you have Randy Orton in almost every one of these shots in full gear with Cody Rhodes in a three-piece suit, not looking like he's ready to fight, not looking like an in-ring competitor. They keep showing you this dichotomy of this guy who's ready to go all the time. You almost never see Randy Orton in anything other than ring attire versus Cody Rhodes trying to look like modern-day Ric Flair, is interesting.
And counter that too with Kevin in his jeans and his t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
Or sweatpants and his t-shirt. So again, that's the whole thing about what they're doing are things that are not just, you know, all right, cut this and then, you know, put it out there and we're done with it. So another thing they're doing very smart is you haven't seen the Wyatts.
So true.
Right?
They're doing that thing again with the QR codes.
Yeah.
Right. And we're not shoving the shit down your throat every fucking week, which then also plays nicely to get Gable's group a match versus the New Day. And now you got two different stories kind of progressing out of those two meeting each other.
Which you knew that the New Day was going to, they had to find a way. They were going to go full steam with, you know, not Kofi Kingston. My brain went just
Xavier.
It was Xavier Woods. Yeah. And he's just lashing out at everybody. It's not even logical anymore. He's just, if they want to get more to the point where he feels like, hey, I never got my singles push and everyone else is using me to, you know, get ahead. And now you tie it right back into Authors of Pain and that whole group. You can go back to that.
And what didn't we see again? We didn't see Authors of Pain. We didn't see Cross and that group.
Cross was there on Monday. He was there on Monday. He was talking.
But we didn't get something shoved down our throat.
We let it breathe. And then you could come back to it two or three weeks later and go, you see, I left you alone and look what happened. You asked him, do not have anyone show up and interfere in my match. And who shows up? LWO shows up. It cost you the match. And while you're fighting on the outside, Kofi Kingston wasn't there for you and you got pinned.
And you saw like Liv and Dom and Rhea, everything kick off the show. But we didn't get Spoon Fed. There we go.
Yeah, did you say poons?
We didn't get the poon. We didn't get poon fed.
Yeah. Dominic did.
Give me some of that Liv.
Oh man.
Yeah. And some Rhea.
Yeah, but
on the side. Fuck it. I'll take some Dom too.
He wants to do a mustache ride.
Mustache ride, baby. On that old sweaty Eddie Guerrero stash from 1996.
Do you realize I didn't realize that Eddie Guerrero was 5'8"? Did anyone ever call him Shorty G? No. Nobody ever did. He's same height as Chad Gable. They knew how to make people look like giants back then.
Right. And Vince also knew how to make people fucking feel like shit. And that's why he rid them.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's what we're seeing. So, you know, we're getting things that, and I don't know if it was at some point I looked at the, it was 3 hours. Raw was 3 hours.
It's going to two soon.
No, it was supposed to have, when it went to two.
Oh, it was supposed to.
It was supposed to stay 2 hours for the rest of the year. And I'm like, I'm looking at the time code going, what the, does that say three? What the fuck's going on?
So was that a mistake? Did they just forget and had that they had matches and things booked and storylines still booked? Or
I don't know.
Where's Travis? Travis lives over there. He claims to know everything about what's going on.
I have no idea, but it was just interesting that I'm like, wait a minute, that says three, right? I'm not fucking, but that's, it didn't feel like three. You know,
it moved. It did move.
It moves. So, but anyway, that's that. All right. Let's give some love. Rob, you got some love?
You know, we were talking about that strap match earlier, and it's literally all of these teams. A lumberjack match is for all the guys who are just absolutely have nothing to do. So you had the Bang Bang Gang, no Jay White. So what do you got? The guys sitting there, and they're just acting like goofballs. You've got the Dark Order, which was once the greatest factions. They're just cleaning up the arena afterwards, you know, getting the cups out of there, you know, getting the, you know, the soda stains off the seats. I mean, it was just the ring of losers. And again, you've got this big push going on right now for Jeff Jarrett, but the rest of his crew are losers. And it shouldn't be like that. Like, I don't give a shit about Satnam Singh, but again, Jay Lethal being like not even being in the corner, he's just, you know, walking the guy out. He's got a t-shirt on and you know, orthopedic, you know, fucking Skechers on. What the fuck is going on here? I know it's a what the fuck segment, but to me, it's like, where's the love for all these guys that had great factions and they're down to the like the most thin versions of themselves? And another one is, even though he's got a belt, where's the love for Sammy Guevara? How do you have a belt and seem like you're not even part of the company? They're putting you in matches. You're wrestling well as you have before, but you're rudderless. You have no direction. And they've got you paired up with Dustin Rhodes, but they're not even mentioning him. You know, they're trying to recreate that Darby Allin Sting feel, but, you know, that's been done with Jericho already when they had the Sex Gods. This guy is too deep into the company and was considered a pillar at one point to be trying to reestablish himself and find himself again. He was going to be with Don Callis. That didn't work. Oh, he had a kid. Well, Don Callis never said hi to him and didn't give him any baby, you know, didn't ask to see any baby pictures. So I'm not with Don Callis anymore. And even then, he was still dressed up like part of Jericho's crew because he had on suspenders and a white shirt and blue glasses. So he's hardcore now because he's got dollar store blue rim glass. All of these guys in AEW have been thrown to the curb. And they're doing what WWE did five seasons earlier, where they would go, all right, we've got five guys, and the other guys will just be there to fill. So you have Swerve Strickland. Okay. He's going to take a break. You've got, for the most part, MJF, although we haven't seen him in a little bit. Don't know what they're doing with that. You've got the Elite, and you've got Moxley's crew, BCC. And there's a couple of guys here or there, but the rest of you? You built the company. Thank you. Season two, great. Three, great. But your main people are gone, so we don't need you. Now go stand in this corner. We'll use you as filler matches on Ring of Honor. Go. You're sloppy thirds. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
You're not wrong. But like I mean, you've essentially taken a roster of like 200 people and essentially said, where's the love for 195 of them?
Well, that's... So, yeah.
I mean, it legitimately, like, I mean, you know I'd love to echo your same points, but you kind of already said the entire roster.
Because so, you know, like, Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, where I'm going to be having this conversation 5 months from now, and they couldn't figure out when to give them a belt because they're not over.
Well, exactly, man. Exactly.
Unless it's New Jersey.
I don't know, man. It's crazy how they don't use people.
Right. But
Vince
at the
McMahon,
same time,
they're doing a documentary about how he used people.
Well, I got to say, at the same time, though, you get these little things that it makes no sense, but yet, because of who it is, it's entertaining. So you put Briscoe and Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly, and now you throw in
Rocky Romero.
It makes no sense, but it's fucking four great guys.
Yeah, it's talent. And yeah. And the thing is, like, here we go. Where is the love for Kyle O'Reilly? I mean, the dude,
he's comic relief.
One of the best wrestlers on the planet. Technically, one of the best wrestlers on the planet. But I mean, realistically, you wouldn't know anything about that because he is strictly comic relief at this point. And at this point, it's what do you do? What do you do?
Yeah. Any other love, Steve? You just want to send your love to Kyle?
The Bang Bang Gang as well. You know, Jay White has been injured for a while. I believe he's clear, but he's not being used. Add him to the pile. A former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. And somebody who just a few years ago was considered one of the best wrestlers in the world, and now he's not even on a fucking TV show. It's mind blowing. So you're not using him. You're not using the Guns or Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson has a very, very good look. Like I've had people that don't watch much wrestling say that they've been scrolling through channels. And AEW was on at a time where they actually had the Bang Bang Gang on a show. And the dude was like, this guy has my attention. Okay, if that's appealing to casuals, which is something that you're not doing, why not do more of that? I mean, clearly the viewership has dwindled. They need to do whatever they can to bring in casual audiences. Honestly, at this point,
but no more jobber matches.
No more jobber matches with
local talent. Fuck that.
Absolutely
shit.
Not.
See, but
wait.
See, but you know, you always bring that up, Rob, and there's not a lot of that.
They've been doing it here and there. They'll fit one in on every show.
It really isn't. It the problem is that
I got him
defending their jobber talent is their jobber talent is their talent. You know, it's the guys who should be getting other opportunities and stuff or storylines or what, and they come out and they lose. Like Chris Daniels is the perfect example, right? Now Chris doesn't need to go out there and wrestle and say, you know, he's got his other responsibilities and whatnot, but all of a sudden you take him out, you have him wrestle a match just to lose, and it doesn't propel the storylines for instance.
Right.
That's what you need. You just need stuff that will make sense to propel the storyline.
Even if you won, nobody wins anything from that. Same thing with Nigel McGuinness. You wouldn't get anything from Nigel McGuinness winning.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to that in a second. I'm gonna give my love to Wentz and Wesley. They did an interview set up where both are in two separate rooms. It was done for Wes's protection, which was brilliant. Like, why don't you want to be in the room with, you want this because you're afraid of me type of thing. But Wentz is throwing F-bombs down. Of course, they're bleeping. But that's where they're headed, right? This is where we're seeing them start to head because of what's going to be allowed on Netflix. Obviously, if they go to, when they're going to CW, it's going to be bleeped if there's anything, but I think you're starting to get the edgier. But during this, then Wes brings up Gigi being Wentz's fiance. Now you're blurring the lines, right? Once again, it fucking works when you start blurring these lines. And these two have been setting up something that this first episode on the CW, the brilliance of everything is that TNA now benefits from that first show that anyone who watches CW and has no fucking clue what TNA is, because there's possibly a good amount of people who've never heard the term TNA, who are not like wrestling fans. Wrestling. You're going to get people who are going to,
I've heard the term TNA.
Yeah. Well, like I said, who are not wrestling fans, you know,
yeah.
But you know, you're going to have that exposure for that company. And I think that this is something, that is, you know, just so beneficial. And again, how it got messed up with the fact that Tony did nothing to help boost them up. And now that you got them where you have people in a corporation who go, well, this is our product, this is our streaming service, of course you're going to fucking benefit. Wow. Is that Trish Stratus? Holy.
It's from our page.
It is nice. We got a good page.
Yeah. I've got some great pages.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. But yeah, it's just some great stuff that Wes and Wentz are doing. That's going to culminate and, you know, it's going to be a big, you know, a potentially big match. And they are going to beat the shit out of each other. So it's going to be interesting to see. But that leads us to what the fuck. All right, Steve, what the fuck?
What the fuck, man? So I know that this is going to seem like I'm ripping into Collision, but I'm not. I promise. I thought it was a decent show. We had the MXM Collection Fashion Walk. Yeah. So evidently, MXM stole Max Caster's jacket and redesigned it, I guess. It was ripped straight out of the Vince McMahon playbook. Seriously, it ended with the Acclaimed coming in, clearing house, and it screamed 2019 WWE to me at its poorest. And thus, it ends up here. What the fuck? Also, as was mentioned earlier, I just can't take Minoru Suzuki seriously anymore. They've used that guy as strictly a jobber. Somebody that, you know, I would be okay if you gave him a quick win here and there, just to give him some legitimacy over a local talent or something of that nature, not over anybody that you're actually trying to push. But he hasn't won a match on AEW TV in years. And so when he was announced as the challenger for Jack Perry's TNT Open Challenge on Collision, I audibly fucking groaned. Of course, the match was almost all strikes. Perry got his ass kicked for most of the match and then actually got the win via countout. So a rare countout decision on AEW TV. But even still, what the fuck? And then to kick off that show, Jamie Hayter was embroiled with this terrible fucking feud with Saraya since she came back from the injury. Her return at All In was done on the pre-show. She's mainly been confined to Rampage and Collision ever since then. I mean, they might have tried to use Hayter's popularity to try to push viewers to the BNC show, but not even that worked. Hayter ended up getting the win over Saraya on Collision in a Saraya's rules match, meaning whatever Saraya and Harley Cameron wanted, whatever, end this shit.
Are they lesbians, those two? Is that their gimmick?
I think they're lipstick lesbians. Like, they're,
yeah,
they're,
they, just they, playing they're it up. Dancing yeah. around it. I'm not even yeah. trying to be glib. Like, yeah. they've been.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they, you know, they did the same thing with Tony Storm and Mariah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Tony
and Mariah actually have kissed. I don't think that Harley and Saraya have.
No,
so
but
they're just playing it up without any kind of. Like,
right. But that's, yeah. But that's the whole thing. Allude to, but it's an easy go to, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to go full blast, you know, panties matches or mud wrestling crap like in the 90s.
Right. But you don't, but you also don't need to, right? That's the thing. The thing is that these people are talented enough that you can find them actual fucking compelling storylines without doing that stuff. You know, simple enough. SmackDown. Bayley wrestles fucking Naomi. Naomi, you know, Trin loses the match backstage. You know, she's disappointed. But Bayley says, hey, I win the title. You know, we go at it again. Great. Bayley leaves. Trin's walking. And then Tiffany comes in and makes fun of her. And Naomi says, great. How about next week? I kick your ass. That'll make me feel better. Simple. It's simple storytelling, right? You don't need to push that shit. So I think that's, you know, it's the best part about it is that, you know, when you see the fact that these people are just being used to not go to that farther point, you know, in this character telling, it makes no sense. And then also it's dangerous. That match had that spot where, you know, the two of them went out onto those tables and that one table did not give.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And that was
a, you know, that was a terrible botch for sure.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was hard to watch. So yeah, again, you can see, you know, listen, Saraya apparently signed. So she's got more years.
But how many matches does she have in her? Because I was under the impression that she wasn't doing much because she's trying to nurse her neck and that she can't do her full-time schedule.
It's hard to tell between who's injured and who's just, they don't have anything to do. They don't know what to do with them. So it could be a little bit of both. Who knows? What do you got, Rob?
I'm watching SmackDown and they've got these tag team three-way things going on. I am under no thought process or way thinking that their DIY is ever going to get those belts for a long time. I don't think A-Town Down Under is going there. They've got all these teams. I've got maybe the Street Profits. Maybe I could see them getting a tag team belt. But they're doing all these matches when you know damn well that there's going to be some sort of faction feud amongst all of the Samoan wrestlers. So dragging these guys out there and it's like time filler with them. I like DIY has great skills, but they have no cohesion. Someone in the ring, but no mic skills, no story for me to get behind. There's nothing for me to latch onto. And the Street Profits were good when they were basically narrating the show. Remember they used to do that on Raw? They used to narrate the show and you would get hyped up. Did you see what we just saw? Oh my God. Oh, and it was kind of crows on the, like Disney crows, the way they were going about it. It was a little hokey, but it worked because they're narrating the show. So they became the voice of the show because they're reminding you, instead of the announcers, which Michael Cole has no goddamn personality. You got Tessitore on Raw, no personality. We're building him up. Let's have these two wrestlers say what excites them. Good. And then they go out and they do some high-flying matches. See, the problem with all these tag team guys is not necessarily that they're bad in the ring, is that you have to have a gimmick besides just having matching ring attire. And all of these guys have matching ring attire. This is the other thing, like we were saying earlier. You know, you've got Vinci getting punked out by Cruz. So what? That doesn't help Vinci at all. And it doesn't do anything for Apollo Cruz, because Apollo Cruz, the only time he was ever over was when you made him an African guy to, you know, mimic what was going on in Wakanda. That's terrible. You shouldn't have to have the guy try to, you know, rip off a Disney movie to get over.
I don't know anyone who makes a living off of doing someone's character that isn't theirs.
And shit.
In their whole lifestyle is, I don't know.
Well, I've you never... know.
Oh, the fucking irony.
You know, this kettle's pretty black. What can I say?
I don't know. It looks more orange.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? They did it for a while. They didn't have anything for him because, you know, it was funny. Years ago, Triple H was in a ring with Kofi Kingston when he dropped the whole Jamaican Usain Bolt thing. And he goes, hey, what happened to your Jamaican accent?
Right.
But he found a way to go beyond that. And his big thing was he had that one-on-one match with Randy Orton, and it put him on the map, basically.
Yeah, but see, but again, you know, it's apples and oranges, right? And I've said this forever. Kofi Kingston is not fucking entertaining. He's a good wrestler, but he's not Kofi Kingston.
He found a way to make himself entertaining as an ensemble. He's boring again. We'll see.
No. Kofi himself is entertaining. They don't have anything. They haven't progressed anything right now. And again, a lot of this has to do with you can't fucking, you know, push in everything into, you know, 2 to 3 hours every week. There's so much going on. But
I can push a lot of stuff into 1 hour.
Well, not anymore, Vince. But the big thing is that you're talking these tag teams, and yet you're getting a triple threat ladder match next week on SmackDown. So the strength of DIY might not be that they have the characters right now, but you know damn straight between them and the Profits, they are going to elevate the Twins. These Tongans are going to look like fucking $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be in the ring with four guys who are going to make this shit fucking fantastic. That's the other thing we got to remember. And I think that AEW has a good sense of it a lot of times too, when you see some of these guys make the other guys look better.
Well, that's happening on TNA with the Hardys right now, because the Hardys are putting a lot of people over on TNA and they're wrestling within their means and they look great.
So let's really quick. What the fuck for me? What the fuck? We had a Dynamite main event of a cosplay Sting versus cosplay Triple H in China. Fucking cares. Roderick Strong, Taven, Bennett shaking Hook's hand for no fucking reason. Here's your heels shaking his. Makes no fucking sense. And Hook sounds like a whining New Yorker. Never let that motherfucker talk. That kid is goddamn awful on the mic. You New Yorkers, Rob.
Belt, we had this belt for a while, you know, and, you know, we did some good stuff with it. And, all good things got to come to an end, you know. So I don't want to have a belt no more.
So here, Dad, here's your belt back that started 25 years ago for no fucking reason anyway.
But they did the WWE 3D effects.
Yeah.
So stupid.
But the biggest thing is, why did Bryan Danielson win that match? You should have had Nigel beat him. Why? Because of what you said, Steve. You don't have to have Nigel wrestle all the time. Why couldn't you've had this guy beat him and then hold that over him for fucking weeks on end? Finally Danielson gives him a fucking title match and beats him. And now you, holy motherfucking of God.
Yep.
Infuriating.
And now, wait, was this stipulation that if he loses any match, he's on a smaller schedule or just a title match?
No, the next match that he loses, his full-time in-ring career is done.
Right.
So that could be why they didn't do that. But I think that they could have found a way to retcon it in and found a way to make it happen.
The best thing,
because obviously if he loses a non-title match, then who's going to defend the title? Yada, yada. So
It was built in. It was built in. And what is the built-in thing in pro wrestling that you can do? Bryan Danielson is hurt. Nigel McGuinness is hurt. It's non-sanctioned.
Yeah.
So therefore, it does not affect his career because AEW does not want anything on their hands if any of you fuckers get hurt. This is a non-sanctioned match. You guys, you can wrestle in our ring, but this has nothing to do with us. It's yours.
To your point, Matt, the buildup with him was him complaining about Bryan Danielson. Now he's got nothing to talk about because that's one of his charming things. I'm going to beat the clam digger. And they build, bucket of ice.
And it wasn't a long build.
Right.
That's the other thing.
It was a week. Oh, yeah.
Well, they laid that though. You could argue
they
though,
did
that from the point that he got in. I went, why is he only complaining about Bryan Danielson? If I'm a casual and didn't watch Ring of Honor 15 years ago, I had no idea, and they never really explained. He was just constantly bitching about Bryan Danielson when he was a face or a heel.
And that's fine, but what did we lose? We lost Bryan talking about him because it was Bryan wasn't anywhere to be found. Yeah. Oh my God, he showed up for the match. Like that wasn't going to happen. If you really wanted to balls it out, you don't have him show up for the match. And that's how Nigel wins. He actually wins that count out, and now he holds it over his head. And then they don't touch until the fucking actual title.
The clam digger was afraid of me.
Fuck. You know, so I, you know, those are the things that makes me mad. And then the other thing too on the what the fuck, and it's huge.
Huge.
I forgot it was Arthur Ashe when I first turned it on, right?
They did a good job filling it up.
But that was the thing. It wasn't full. It was camera angles. And compared
to 8,000.
Right.
I know.
No. And again,
how many is Arthur Ashe?
They put like 30,000 or something in there.
Oh,
the first year they put 20,000 in there, but a week before the show, they had 5,000 sold. So they almost doubled the ticket sales in a week, which just goes to show that they should spend more time building the fucking card.
Right. And that's the thing. What hit me was it wasn't that the sales were low. It was at first I didn't even identify it as Arthur Ashe because the first year they did it, those sweeping shots of the stadium, which is an outdoor fucking venue, were telling. This was do not show big shots. It looked like they were in a small fucking place. So why?
That's what I thought too.
Fucking huge place when you can't fill it. God, it's just you're blowing fucking money on this shit. That's what makes me mad.
WWE will rebook a venue if they can't fill it. They're not going to just, commit to it. They've done it.
And I get smart. Right. And I get that you want this Arthur Ashe thing. It's special. You've made it special in the past. But that's like trying to book Wembley again next year and then not showing Wembley, but showing this concoction.
We're in the corner of Wembley Arena. There's another show going on, so just don't mind the noise.
We got tennis going on the first court.
And here's the other thing. When we talk about Wembley Arena, I'm a New Yorker. Wembley Arena is a polite way to say you couldn't fill Citi Field. Because Citi Field is right next to Wembley Arena.
You mean Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, Arthur Ashe. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Wembley is 80,000 plus seats.
Right. But Citi Field and Arthur Ashe are very close. They're both in Queens. Arthur Ashe is, if I think, by the World's Fair still. It's over there, so to speak. If you could get 50,000 people, you would be at Citi Field. You wouldn't even be talking about Arthur Ashe, you know? Right.
Other things, again, Yankee Stadium, it's Yankee Stadium. You run something like that.
Or the garden.
Sure. But they can't.
They can't. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. That's WWE's exclusive home.
Right. So you do NASCAR. But you have enough venues that are historical, with great seating, with great cachet to them. I can't think of the word right now. But even if they could, they wouldn't fill it.
And again,
and Ring of Honor filled it years earlier with the crossover New Japan Pro Wrestling before there was even AEW. They filled it.
That's because card. There was no AEW and people were tired right. of the status quo with WWE. Right.
Yeah, so they were able to right. fill that.
And now, you know,
was that Super Card of Honor back then?
Yeah,
right. And Tony and he continues to run that now on WrestleMania weekend because of that, because it's built in, right? Yep. So, you know, that's the thing. The thing is that he wants to go with things that are successful in the past. But again, promotion-wise, he's not a promoter. And that's the thing that really ends up killing them in the end. Okay, what are we looking out for? Rob, what are you looking out for?
Xavier Woods going full heel. I want to see how he does it. I want to see what faction he ends up with. I think I know where he's going to end up with Karrion Kross. But I want to see how that finally manifests itself and who comes and reaches out to him. I see Karrion Kross reaching out to other wrestlers like he did with The Miz and going, hey, man, why aren't you taking out the monsters? Aren't you a monster? So we could see another little faction forming here, which would be really good.
Well, and you know what? So Hunter has always liked Kross, okay? What Hunter has been able to do recently is tap into Kevin's biggest strength, and that is he's a psychological guy. So what they have him doing makes total fucking sense for once, and that is getting in the ears of people and fucking with their mind. And
well, you're casting a wide net. You're taking anybody you can get.
Well, but you're also
and the famous people.
This is the thing that we're seeing now, finally. It's not just random. It's deliberate. Kross isn't just going to anyone. He's going to the guys that he knows he can get in their head because those guys have been successful. Why aren't you successful?
Right.
I know why, but you can't see it in the mirror. That's brilliant. Because
Ilya Dragunov is the next one I'm looking at because they went from match to now I'm being victimized. So somebody's got to come to his defense or he's got to step up. So Dragunov.
Maybe. But what's going to be interesting, and I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger on it, but at some point, if they start building to Dragunov versus Gunther at Mania, that could bring the fucking house down.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Third one is not so much. It's almost a what the fuck moment. And we've said this is our women tag team champions are now hosting the event instead of being in the event, which means that they're giving our girl, who looks amazing, more time to learn the ropes, I guess. Because
And this is the truth. There's not a lot of spots. That Hell in a Cell match is going to take 35 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, but they got her on the show. They got Bianca in Atlanta on the show.
And so Jade Cargill.
That's what I'm saying. They got Jade on the show and they got Bianca on the show. So very smart. I think that's a great way to use it.
I feel like the tables have turned. I'm being negative about them, and you found something positive to say about them.
Right.
I'm just sitting here watching this like, what the fuck am I watching? Because, it's exactly that.
Hold on.
Literally a double
turn. Old white guy is going to complain about Jade Cargill.
It's everything that I've said. It's like Jade is, and Bianca for that matter too, these two women are movie stars. They are future movie stars. This is exactly what you need to do with them. You don't have to put them in the ring every fucking.
But you know what it is? Together. The effect of them is brilliant because my brother doesn't really watch wrestling. One of my brothers, he didn't never watch wrestling, and it was at his house. His wife walked by, and him and his best buddy were like, Bobby, oh Robert, oh that Jay Cargill, oh man, wife was like 2 feet away from him. He's like, oh man. I'm like, Cheryl's right there. Like, I mean, I've never been married, but I would imagine that wouldn't help you stay married. Like, if Daryl right now was just like, hey, baby, put on this white wig. Say the storm is coming. Like, you know, there's no cruises for Daryl for a while, you know?
No, but Daryl has definitely put on the Roman Reigns mask and given a super punch or two in his life. So the slippers are on the other
side. Jackie just pulls off and says, acknowledge me.
Steve, what are you looking out for?
We don't need to visualize DJ Impact in various stages of coitus. So thank you for that visual.
Hey, we just found the name. We found the name of his stable, Coitus. Coitus. Ah, yes. Pal, give me some coitus.
That's right. But yeah, so as far as what I'm looking out for,
it's the coitus, you know, cutter.
I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with MVP. Obviously I'm assuming that they're going to have a thing where Swerve is going to reject him. And then obviously that leads to bringing in maybe a Bobby Lashley, to face Swerve right out of the gate.
Fucking smash Swerve and bury him even further.
Exactly. Because that's how things are. Swerve's cycle is done with him being on top. So now he has to go back around the circle and he has to put people over again.
The problem is Bobby Lashley is mushmouth. I mean, it's good that you use MVP.
Right. That's why you put MVP with him.
Yeah. He's got all the right moves and the looks. He never catches on. And then if he does, they fuck him over. I mean, the Beatdown, not the what was that? The faction he was in, the Beatdown Clan was in TNA. Whatever they did in WWE was great, and they buried it too soon.
Yep, the Hurt Business. And
the Hurt Business. You know,
so, obviously, if they go that route, I would actually like to see maybe a returning powerhouse Hobbs in the Hurt Syndicate or whatever they're going to choose to call it.
Hurt Syndicate.
But something else that kind of ties in with this, what I'm looking forward to this Wednesday is going to be Will Ospreay versus Ricochet on Wednesday on Dynamite, the main event of your 5-year anniversary show. A lot of people have said, yes, this deserves a bigger stage. I agree, but I can also see what they're going for with putting this as the established main event of their 5-year anniversary show. Maybe both of those things tie in together and we see MVP show up and help Ricochet take that international title from Will Ospreay, because something I did find interesting is you had Ricochet in the Black Panther gear on Collision. And we know that MVP wore very similar gear back when he still wrestled in WWE toward the end of his career.
But of all the promoters, who is the most like Don Callis? MVP is the most like Don Callis. That would be an amazing thing, because Don Callis, you know that they're going to peel off and remake Inland Empire. You know that we're just like 1 week away from this. So Don Callis loses those people, and an MVP shows up and makes his own super faction, and he's as charismatic as Don Callis is on the mic. That would be amazing to see what a desperate Don Callis would do. Yeah. This could be interesting. You could have two different faction wars going on right there, and then a third one being the Elite, and you have three solid factions. That could be something.
I think we're missing the fact that is PAC not factored in here? Isn't PAC gonna interfere in this because he wanted Ospreay's title?
Obviously they've kind of shelved everything with PAC, or so it appears, with the the turn with Claudio and Moxley and PAC. So
they
I don't
shelved
know.
That for well, that for that storyline. And also, where's MJF?
He's filming Happy Gilmore 2.
Ah.
Yeah, he's phoning.
Dude, I'm telling you, he needs to be Shooter's son. Otherwise, I don't want it.
Oh God, he's got that'd be so perfect.
He might be MJF. Just with all the actual cameos apparently they have lined up. So we'll see. All right.
He needs to be in the sequel of Uncut Gems.
NXT on CW starts this week. Should be a solid show. SmackDown's looking good for next week. AJ Styles returning, a hype video that was fantastic.
I would rather have him just showed up unannounced. That would have been even a bigger pop, but it was a good video.
Yeah, that's the thing. Again, it's like, again, we see when people show up unannounced, so what?
Honestly, what's better? Is it getting a louder crowd pop or selling tickets when an audience knows that so-and-so is
going to be? That's fair.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Correct.
So
what?
And so I thought the same way, but business.
And not only selling tickets, but if you're an AJ Styles,
watch the show.
Right. If you're an AJ Styles fan, you know he's coming back. Now you're gonna DVR it or tune in live. Yeah. Meechan versus Chelsea in a dumpster match. Just the idea of Chelsea in a dumpster is just. I don't know. It's gold. And hopefully maybe this is where Keith Lee actually shows up. Maybe he helps his wife who, you know, he's actually in the dumpster.
He's in the dumpster.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
A metaphor for his AEW career. Well,
played. His whole career outside of NXT.
Pretty much.
That triple threat match for the tag belts, the ladder match should be great. And hey, a two-night SummerSlam coming in August. Unfortunately, that means that people have to stay two nights in fucking New Jersey.
Hey,
but soon, the 25th, tickets for WrestleMania right here in Las Vegas. We got to coordinate this.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen.
I figure this out. I have no, I'm not a pot to piss in, but I got a credit card that I'm willing to burn up to no end.
The American way.
That sounds good. I don't know who can afford tickets, but if you can get them all on the credit card, just sign us all up and we'll pay you back in installments. Because this is like
a motherfucking affirm.
Good God, man. Yeah, right? Jesus.
Dale's going to be like, I'm not going to be able to do any cruises next year. Okay, just two.
Right. No, Daryl, you know what? Daryl's, I think he's already, honestly, the reason he's not here today is he's standing outside Allegiant by the box office waiting. No one told him that you don't have to basically stand in line anymore at a box office.
Doing it old school.
So he's been camping out.
Hey, can I get some discounts with Vegas Bad Boys? We'll put you on our podcast.
Yeah. All right. All right, best in show, Rob.
Raw. You change your title on Raw on WWE. That's a big deal.
Yep, I agree. Steve?
AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. Such a good fucking show from beginning to end. And we also had the Bryan Danielson choking someone out with a tie again. So after the John Moxley and Darby Allin match, where obviously Darby Allin is in canon the stupidest motherfucker in the history of AEW, because the guy had a title shot and he gave it away. He literally gave it away for no fucking reason and gets his ass rolled by Moxley.
All right, man. Is that how you want to roll? You just want to be taking my title shot? All right, man. I'm down. What?
In any event, the show was fucking awesome.
And don't forget, you know what? You know, I've been defending this belt now for like 3 years. Fuck it. You know, whatever.
And the FTW retirement, you know, it has Taz, big tough Taz, trying to not cry was pretty interesting in itself.
With his one arm choke, where he does like a little half arm choke.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Markdown though
for the fact that they that Danielson forced good old JR's bag of bone body out there to
for two matches.
It
was better than previous weeks though.
His commentating was decent. He got excited a little bit, and at the end he said business is about to pick up, and that was nice.
There you go.
And then they played "Thank You for Being a Friend."
Yeah. Sad. Very sad.
They should have him, and then they should have King come on there, and then, you know, Trish Stratus walks by, and King's eyes bug out of his head. He does a spit take. They have Shivani on there, because Shivani's about as old as those two fucks.
Shit, man. I don't know if King's heart could take that shit.
Yeah, and Shivani needs to go too.
He's terrible. He needs to just be in the backstage, just doing the interviews. That's all he is. He cannot go, "Oh, this is an incredible match."
He needs to be in the old folks' home with a spoon as a microphone and just interviewing.
Hey, we're Ric Flair here. Turner Broadcast Networks. We're with Ric Flair here. Ric, tell us about Space Mountain. Space Mountain. Where's Ric? Can I barista again?
Oh, Jesus.
I think that Rob was just on fire, and Jey Uso winning the title is a dimension that should build up something substantial. Dare I say, and I don't know how they get there, but would we not be objected to seeing Jey Uso defend that title against Jacob Fatu at WrestleMania?
Ooh. Wait, you think he's going to hold it that long? I don't think he's going to hold it that long.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. And I don't know, you know, and again, you got two different shows.
If you do it the way I think they're going to do it, where you want to create that instant heat and you want him to reteam with Roman Reigns, you have some scenario by which Roman Reigns goes, "Look, this isn't over yet, and I still need your help." And then he gets fucked out of his belt by one of them. Either he loses it to Bron Breakker because of interference from the Bloodline, or the Bloodline takes it from him somehow. And then he goes, "Fine, I'll forgive you this one time, or I'll help you this one time because we have a mutual enemy." And then they find their way with Paul Heyman, and we get back there. I don't foresee Jimmy coming back anytime soon, because it looks like he's going through some tough stuff. That's some real sketchy stuff happening on his social media page. So I don't know what demons he's battling. Get well soon. Because I think he said, good God, somebody help me," something to that effect. But you could bring in Sammy again as the honorary Oos and strike up the band, and then put in Cody Rhodes. And there's your four people. But
I think you still got your like I said, it's you already have a story going on. You have Cody, you have Roman, you have Kevin, and you have Randy. That's what you're going to see if you have War Games, to be honest.
That could work.
Yeah. That's your four. I mean, it doesn't make any other sense, because those are your four biggest SmackDown superstar faces. And that's where you have a turn potentially too. You know, so if you don't debut the biggest Oos, then you know, this is where Orton turns on everyone.
Or you could have Orton and Kevin Owens turn, become a heel tag team.
Possibly. You could also have Cody Rhodes turn on everyone, and it's revealed that somewhere along the Bloodline, Dusty and
Jesus.
So Cody Cody actually
Cody's a member of the fucking bloodline.
With his blue eyes.
And that's why he's got the tattoo. That's why he's got the American Nightmare tattoo. That's the tribal.
He's going to come out with a tribal tattoo down.
No, that is his tribal tattoo. It's the that's why it's on his neck like that.
And the Rock comes out and raises his hand. So that wasn't a fight. That was initiation.
It was, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know.
Mama Rhodes was taking Chief Bar via sloppy seconds.
Dusty's affair in Hawaii in 1982.
Mama Rhodes and Grand Chief Bonavia going in there, laying the pipe.
That's right. All right, Steve, what do you got to say about that? Well, not
what
about
do I have
that.
To say.
But about,
what do you have
know.
To say about the Rock's father laying the pipe to Mama Rhodes?
I mean, that would make for very compelling TV. As far as my final thoughts, I just want to say thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking and sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special shout out to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lens, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. Last but not least, up here, repsports.com, REPP Sports. I had to get the PP in, you know? I had to. Just like someone did to Mama
Rhodes.
The
Rock's dad's PP was deep in Mama Rhodes.
Exactly. REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. And use promo code VEGAS at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
You do realize that you say PP Sports.
Oh, yeah. We watch a PP Sport.
They get a lot of that in Japan.
As was well discussed during the MXM collection segment on Collision, where they touched tips.
Tips. Oh, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. Speaking of touching tips, Rob, where is your tit touching this week?
Oh, I actually have some list of shows coming up. I'm going to be performing tomorrow at Backstop Comedy Club in Boulder City at 9 o'clock on the 5th.
So wait. You're performing at the Backstop?
No.
So does this have anything to do with PP Sports?
There's no water sports. Okay. Fake news. Okay. No water sports. Okay. It is your president bringing freedom to all of the people. We're calling it the Forced Freedom Tour. The Forced Freedom Tour. Okay? You're going to love freedom. You're going to have so much freedom. You're not going to know what to do at all. Never ever will you experience so much freedom. Okay? It's going to be so much freedom. Tomorrow.
Besides your back door, where else are you performing?
9 o'clock in Boulder City tomorrow, back door on LA Comedy Club at 11:30 on Saturday. Just check that again on my social media. I have the posters. That's going to be WrestleMania. And at the last WrestleMania, comedian Stoner Rob got a spinning heel kick from RVD. Stoner Rob came in with a steel chair to challenge RVD. This is true. RVD and Rob Van Dam gave a spinning heel kick at the OYO Casino and knocked Stoner Rob down a flight of stairs. Jesus. It was the funniest thing I have ever seen. Because if you know how to do that kind of stuff, and to take that bump in a really, really steep staircase and a really steep stage, and he took it, was fucking incredible. And usually Rob Van Dam is there. I don't know if he's going to make an appearance this time around. But that's going to be on the 5th. On the 23rd, I want to say, I have another show to be announced, the location. And on the 26th, Porchester in Pahrump, that one I'll have some flyers for as well. And that will be Stoner Rob Production, and that's going to be in Pahrump. So I got four dates coming basically in the month of October, once tomorrow, which is September 30th, but basically October, four dates.
Oh, there you go.
And a few more to be announced as I confirm them.
Well,
I'm calling it the Forced Freedom Tour because you need freedom. You have to have freedom. And we're going to have to force it.
And if you don't have freedom, we're going to look into, there's going to have to be some punishment.
And we could be looking at the last 6 weeks of Rob's career coming up here, depending on how the election goes. So,
oh, no, motherfucker. I've got Cat Williams in this bitch next. Act like you know, sir. Thank you very much.
And just, and I do have a full Cat Williams suit now.
Oh, Jesus.
I keep a Cat Williams wig on, and then I put the Trump wig over that.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, there you have it. Until next week, when DJ Impact hopefully returns, and although he might still be in line, depending
Excuse me. I'm with Vegas Bad Boys, yo. So I'd like to get tickets for WrestleMania, please. Thank you. What do you mean we only get Raiders games? No, WrestleMania. Ooh. This is what do you mean this is where the Raiders play?
Unfortunately, he's standing in line over at the Lee Family Forum for the WrestleMania tickets. So
yeah. And you thought he was going to get laid tonight.
Oh, hey, we're all going to get laid.
Yep.
It's Vegas. It's always a way to do it. See how that goes. Right, guys.
Happy wrestling, everybody.